Hello, my name is Henry Boffman, and this is an oral history project of the Lincoln County Historical Society. We're doing it on the fourth day of December 2015. I'm in Rural Retreat, Virginia, talking to my cousin, Kitty Mack Carson Milton. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Glad to have your company.
We are trying to get interviews of people of the long ago in Stanford and Lincoln County in particular. And I know you have lots of stories to share with us. I noticed from some of the things you have given me that you told me about your going to school. Would you describe how you got there?
I got to the school by riding my pony, whose name was Trixie. I was 7 years old, and Mama had taught me at home and decided it was time to go to the school, which was a two-room schoolhouse. I took the pony to Preachersville, that was the school, and stabled her in the barn back behind the general store. Then I crossed the street and went to school. Mama told me that she thought I had learned enough to be in the second grade, since there were three grades there. And I sat there and listened one day, and then I told the teacher that I thought I was smart enough to be in the third grade. And so that's how I started school, riding a pony to Preachersville to school, and started in the third grade.
And what year was this?
1935, I believe. I'm not positive, but I think it was 1935. 34, 35.
And I assume that you lived on a farm with your parents?
I lived on the farm with my parents, and it was way off the road because it was built way back in the early 1800s and was just off the road. They used the water for transportation.
And you all farmed, of course.
Yes, farmed.
And you were in Lincoln County.
Lincoln County, it was between Crab Orchard and Preachersville.
Not many people know about water transportation back then. Did you get your supplies on Dix River?
Well, Dix River was just there. The house was built near Dix River for transportation. And one time, my daddy, who wanted everybody to live history, got a rowboat, and we've traveled Dix River. He said that's the way the people traveled that built this house. That's the way it was. But the house was built around, there were two houses built there around 1812. That one, which was a Shanks house, and a house with property adjoining it, which was an Owsley house, which did not survive.
What kind of work did your father do in addition to being a farmer? Was he a blacksmith?
No, he was not a blacksmith. He was mainly a horse trader, but he worked for the state highway department. And he, although he wasn't educated as an engineer, he supervised the building of quite a few good roads in Lincoln County. Much later, he became a probation parole supervisor.
That ties in well.
He was also elected to the state legislature in 1935.
Did they have mail delivery back then?
Yes.
And how was it done?
It was begun, I remember, a horse-drawn carriage, but we lived a mile off the road, and we had to go that far to get the mail.
Was delivered every day?
Every day. In fact, if it was got a special delivery letter, that mailman would come all the way out that mile and bring it to you.
Tell me about Saturdays in the town of Stanford.
Saturdays in the town of Stanford was a visiting day for people from the country. Daddy had a truck, and I guess his family car, but we called it Mama's car. Daddy would take the car, our car, in on Saturday morning and park it in front of a Kroger store, which I guess the west side of Main Street, Kroger store, and leave it parked there. So we would bring the truck to town then, leave it for Daddy, and that way our car was the main source of visiting on Saturday afternoon and Saturday night. Our car got parked. And the children would run up and down the street and play and come back and check at the car, and ladies would come sit in the car and visit a while, and then they'd leave and the others would come. It was just a Saturday night gathering. And
I've been told that the men would sit in front of the courthouse on that 2.5 foot tall concrete and politic and shoot the breeze and whatever else. You remember that?
Oh, they did that. Of course, I don't know where they went when it got dark, because we sat in that car till 9 o'clock at night. But during the day, they all met at the courthouse. And of course, that's how you caught up with the news from what was going on.
And you said you knew Kelly Francis. When did they hold court? And when did they, were people allowed to attend and listen?
I'm sure they were, but I never did.
Never did?
In Lincoln County. No. As probation parole officer, of course, Daddy attended courts, but that's after I left home.
Oh, okay. Tell me what your father used to farm with. Obviously, they didn't have tractors back then.
He used horse-drawn machinery, and lots of the plowing was done with the one horse and the man behind the plow. Daddy went to Arizona and bought some horses, and at one time, it was right after the terrible drought and devastation in that section of the country, and he bought this baby horse whose family had gone bankrupt and they were going down the road, and the little horse couldn't make it, so he and this buddy of his put it in the back of the car and bought the horse home. We named her Pet, and she and a male horse called Tony were the two-horse team. Daddy bought and sold horses and mules all the time. That was one of his means of livelihood. But Pet was the only thing that Daddy wouldn't sell. Sometime he'd sell a horse in the morning and have bought it back by night in his trading, but he never would talk about it, anybody selling Pet. And back in those days, if you had an animal die on the farm, you called the dog food factory and they'd come pick up the dead animal. And that's what happened. But when Pet died, Daddy would not call the horse, the dog food people. He buried Pet. Another thing that Daddy did was during World War II, a very good means of livelihood was growing hemp seed for the government. And he had a contract with the government to grow hemp because of the bottom land there. And when they thrashed the hemp, he had to have a piece of material, very thick white material, where they thrashed the hemp seed, and anything's left they were supposed to pick up. Now, you want to know where the best hemp plants in Lincoln County are, you might follow through.
Well, that's interesting, because they're beginning to grow hemp again in Kentucky now.
Some of it got away.
And you told me about your father trading and horses and mules. I grew up, I heard the story that you could kill every mule in the world and still have more. Can you tell us how that was possible?
Well, you'd have to ask the daddy of the mules. Generally speaking, a mare was bred to a donkey, and the offspring was a mule. Now, once in a while, it went the other way. As far as I know, they never had any male offspring. But they would breed a stallion to a jenny, and once in a while you get an offspring, not often. But generally speaking, it was a donkey bred the mare, and that was a mule, and they were sterile.
Were mules used to ride?
Not much.
Not much?
Once in a while. They had their riding horses. You can't remember.
Yeah. Tell me about what you did on Sundays. I assume you went to church.
Everybody went to country church on Sunday, and that's where the socialization and the neighborhood parties came from. And lots of people married within the neighborhood, so they knew each other from way back, and they didn't have church, what we call preaching, but I think 2 Sundays a month, but they had Sunday school, and they had prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and somebody always had a party for the young people in the summertime. That's about the way it was. It was that the church and the school was, and the country store were the centers of the community.
And what else did you do on Sunday afternoons?
Well, Sunday was supposed to be a day of rest, but the men got together. The women stayed in the kitchen and served some food and gossip, but the men had croquet, and they had excellent croquet lawns and special made mallets. And pretty Sunday afternoons, croquet went from about 3 different houses, and they all went to where the lawn was. One of the pastimes of the community was fishing, because it was on Dick's River, and it's a lot of fishing. And the men would gather in a certain time in the spring, when it got a little warm. And at the mouth of the creek in the river, there were lots and lots of big catfish. And they would dive and catch those catfish and bring them back to our house, and it had fires going, and had a fish roast, fresh fish roast. One other thing about the farming I'll mention is the blacksmith. The blacksmith that I knew lived in Crab Orchard. And one time, one of the workers on the farm had taken a horse to get it shod, and Daddy told him he'd get it home. So we came, Daddy was in his truck, and we came by to get the horse. And I found out that I was the one to get the horse home. I was about 4 or 5 years old. And that blacksmith said, "Mr. Carson, you're not going to let that girl ride that horse home?" Said, "That's 3 miles out in the country." Daddy said, "Well, you know what? The horse knows the way home, and I hope she's got as much sense as the horse."
Since you mentioned being along Dick's River, can you tell us anything about the flood of, I guess it was 1937?
I think it was 1937. We lived out there, and the creek joined the river, and the river surrounded the place, and the house was sort of up on a hill. But Daddy working for the State Highway Department was called to Louisville to help evacuate the people out of Louisville. We had no telephone, no nothing, and didn't know if he was all right, and the river flooded. But then when it went down, it evidently hit the dam on down the river and started backing up. And there was quite a few animals that got on the highest hill they could find, and they were drowned. But it came within 12 feet of our house. No way to get out, nothing but water. I'm doing pretty well.